Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now, we're very happy for another great guest to talk college football with us, Howard Richards, who is the color commentator for Mizzou football. He's going to be at the Tiger Club of Kansas City luncheon. I was there last week with Mike Boddicker. We had a great time, great group of folks down there at the Westport Flea Market, 11:30 today. So be sure to go check that out today, Westport Flea Market, 11:30, Tiger Club of Kansas City with Howard Richards, who's in studio with us right now. Howard, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning.
Thank you so much for dropping by the studio. And so, man, there's a lot of stuff that we wanted to talk about, including Mizzou football. But for people that don't know, you were a great player for Mizzou, and then you were drafted in the first round by the Dallas Cowboys. And so, then what was your rookie year?
1981.
So you were on the team with the Joe Montana, yes, Dwight Clark NFC Championship game.
Great. I had my heart broken.
Right.
Today,
right.
And so that's what you're trying to say.
No, I mean that. I mean that's one of the most historic games in NFL history, and you were part of it.
Yeah. And you know, we had a great season leading up to that, and we had lost to the 49ers big during the season, in the regular season, in San Francisco. So there was obviously a little bit of a revenge factor going out for the championship game. And and it was set up very nicely. You know, the game went back and forth, and unfortunately, even though that play, you know, essentially won the game for them, we had chances to win the game. Ironically, my teammate at Mizzou, one of my closest friends, Eric Wright, who earned 4 Super Bowl rings with the Niners, made a touchdown-saving tackle, or at least a tackle that would have allowed us to get in field goal position and to possibly win the game on a Rafael Septien kick. That tackle that he made would be illegal today because it was a horse collar tackle. So they would have at least tacked on another 15 and probably would have been a chip shot for Raf to make. So there's a lot of elements in that game that you know, have kind of changed the course of professional football. You know, we give great credit to Bill Walsh for realizing that, you know, if the Cowboys are going to stay in this 4-0, you know, prevent defense, why should we throw the ball? Let's just run it. Mm-hmm. And we didn't adjust. And so they were able to pick up big chunks of yards and score a lot of points. So it was just it was surreal. We were able to make it back to the championship game the following year. Didn't get to the Super Bowl because we lost to the Redskins. But it was tough. It was a grind, man. And you know, I don't think players today can appreciate what it took to prepare for a 16-game season back then, because we were in pads, you know, throughout the week, 2-a-days.
Training camp's a little different.
A whole lot different than today. You know, I might be able to play 20 years if I were playing today.
Right.
I mean, that's – so I guess at the end of the day, then, that means these changes are good, right? If it prolongs players' careers and allows them to continue to do this – and maybe be healthier once their career's over as well?
Well, I think safety of the game is paramount. You want the game to stay relevant, and if injuries are always the headline, then that can't be good for the game. So there are a lot of safety measures that I think are really good. You know, helmets have improved. If they could just find a way to improve the playing surfaces, you know, I'm all about having grass everywhere.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of artificial surfaces. In fact, I never got hurt playing on grass. Every time I was injured was on an artificial surface. Now, they are better now, but still, there's nothing like playing on grass.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that, because the new surfaces are a lot better than the old one. Was almost like playing on concrete.
Oh yeah,
but,
just like this surface right here in this studio.
I don't think people understand what it must have felt like to get tackled on something like that, and just on your knees and ankles running. But while the new stuff is better, it's still not grass, right? Like,
right.
It's not the same.
Well, I usually make this comparison to help people understand it. If you're looking at a horse race, you know, obviously horses run on dirt tracks, and when they're running, you see them kicking up dirt. You know, that's force being displaced. On a football field, you know, that force displacement has nowhere to go on an artificial surface. It comes back through the weakest part of your bodies, which typically is your knee. So that's why you see so many knee injuries in this game. But it's, you know, it's all done for television and obviously, if you're a groundskeeper, put a lot of groundskeepers out of work because you don't have to do anything to prepare or repair a grass field anymore for the next week.
Howard Richards is our guest in studio. Okay, before we get to Mizzou football, man, got to ask, and I'll be honest with you, our man Jake's a little nervous, but we're going to ask anyway. So you were in the CIA for how long?
That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I worked 13 years.
So what, I mean, I know there's plenty of stuff you can't. So what was your role in the CIA?
I did a number of things, from background investigations. Was the first job that I did, and bookended that at the end of my career there with doing security clearance adjudications. In between, I was on the protective details for four CIA directors from Robert Gates, Jim Woolsey, John Deutsch, and George Tenet. In between, or after that, I worked sort of in a lot of policy stuff in the intelligence community management staff, worked a little bit on Capitol Hill with the congressional staffers. And then I was for 2.5 years posted in Tel Aviv. So I was responsible for our facilities and personnel in, at the time, was the capital was Tel Aviv and at our consulate in Jerusalem.
I'm trying to think of what question I want to ask because I got about a million in my head right now.
Did you love it? I mean, that's...
Oh, totally. It opened my eyes to so many things about how government works, how government doesn't work, but the ability to travel to 45 to 50 different countries, 5 continents.
Wow.
You get to learn about a number of cultures worldwide, interact with world leaders. I got an opportunity to stand toe-to-toe and have a conversation with Nelson Mandela when in South Africa. Met U.S. former U.S. presidents. It was a little surreal. You know, some small city kid from St. Louis is on the big stage. But it was very gratifying and very thankful for my opportunity to work there and serve the country.
How did you first get into it from Dallas Cowboys to, you know, CIA?
If I told you that I was not recruited, no one would believe it. If I told you that I responded to a newspaper ad, would you believe that? Because that's how it happened.
Like a classified ad, like CIA hiring.
Dallas Morning News. When I finished. I went back and finished my last semester of college after my NFL career. I switched majors and had to accumulate more hours in my area of concentration, broadcast communication. And so when I finished after the '88 season, went back to Dallas. And one Sunday, I was reading the Dallas Morning News, and there was a full-page CIA ad. During the interim, though, I had been sending out, you know, audition tapes and resumes to, you know, stations across the country and wasn't getting the type of response that I wanted.
Okay, so you're just like us in that regard.
Yeah. You know, exactly.
We've been there.
And so when I saw the ad at the bottom, it had all the areas of employment. And one said communication. So I figured this might be an opportunity to at least get my feet wet, get some meat on my resume, if you will. Because I thought that, you know, there was a lot of stereotyping going on. I think that a lot of people probably made some judgments about me being a former professional athlete, football player, not very smart.
Dumb jock.
What can this guy really do? Yeah, yeah. Well, they didn't know that I, you know, had gone to gifted schools and had a couple of offers to play in the Ivy League, scholarships. So, but here's the thing. It's hard to make judgments on people unless you actually get them in and have an interview and have a face-to-face with them. I give the agency credit because they did that. They were very impressed with my liberal arts background at Missouri and actually explained that because of that liberal arts background, you become very valuable in this organization because you can do a lot of different things that people that tend to specialize in certain areas can't do.
Please tell me about your interaction with Nelson Mandela. That blows my mind.
So we flew into Johannesburg on a Friday. And we were scheduled to meet with President Mandela sometime on Saturday morning. Got a call late Friday night that he would see us at 9 a.m. on Saturday. So we got up probably at 6, flew at 7, got there at 8. And on the drive to their presidential White House, we pull up. I get a call on the radio that Director Deutsch wants to see me. And so I hustle up and you know, go up to him and say, "Yes, sir, you know, what is it? I understand you want to see me." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, I want you in the meeting with me." I said, "Well, I'm going to be inside anyway as one of the team leaders, if you will, on our detail." He goes, "No, I don't think you understand. I want you in the meeting room when we meet President Mandela," which was kind of unprecedented for a world leader to go in with one of his, you know, armed security officers. But I did have to remove my firearm, and sure enough, went inside with the other six people in our delegation, and we were just kind of sitting and chatting for about 10 to 15 minutes, and there was a staircase in the room. 15 minutes later, you see this sort of a frail pair of legs come descending the staircase, and sure enough, it was President Mandela. So he greeted everyone one by one, had a few words. I was the last one in line, and he looked at me, shook my hand, and kind of looked me up and down. He says, "My goodness, you must have played basketball." I politely corrected him and said, "No, sir, it was American football." So that was how my meeting with Nelson Mandela. So he's got a sense of humor.
We've got Howard Richards in the studio.
Wow.
We're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk Mizzou football. But just if we're talking threat assessment, and you see this guy walking down the street, I mean, he's got to be eliminated. You got to
terrorist written all over.
Right. You got to get him. You got to walk him right out of the room.
You're doing a background check on him
exactly
immediately, right?
You've
no doubt. It's already done.
Right there. That's right.
I got to go.
Yeah. There's alarms going off everywhere.
I gotta go.
Howard Richards is in studio. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati on this beautiful Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. We're very happy to have Howard Richards in studio, the color commentator for Mizzou football. And so let's talk some Mizzou football now. We're all disappointed when Mizzou lost to Wyoming in the season opener, but they bounced back with a vengeance, 38-7 over West Virginia. And now I feel even better about that after watching West Virginia put 44 up against North Carolina State and win that game 44-27. So Mizzou has back-to-back wins now. But boy, this just feels like such a big game on Saturday because South Carolina has won three in a row against Mizzou. And how aggravating and disappointing that loss last year to South Carolina. Many people felt like Mizzou should have won that game. But this would be, I think, just a huge boost in the arm for the program and for the fan base if Mizzou can start off 1-0 in the conference and kind of get that South Carolina monkey off their back and get a big win on Saturday. What do you think about this big matchup in Columbia on Saturday, kickoff at 3 o'clock?
I could not have said it better. I mean, you characterized it perfectly. Last year especially was a game that I think Missouri fans and players also felt that the Gamecock stole it from us. You know, there was a touchdown run, 70-yard touchdown run by Demarie Crockett that was called back. They say stepped out of bounds. And every replay that I saw, I mean, there was nothing that indicated that he stepped out of bounds. And I'm just not sure why they didn't overrule that call. But that play itself would have been a difference maker in the game. And there were a number of plays. I know Drew Locke was trying to throw a screen pass, and the receiver fell down. He ended up throwing a pick six. And then there was the rain, an hour and 15-minute delay. It was just a mess. And that was the game, to me, that was a signature loss for Missouri. Because I thought that our guys were prepared for it. But, you know, you can't prepare for all the other crap that happens. But, you know, losing three straight to that team when, and especially 2 years ago at home, we didn't play well in 2017. Got our butts handed to us. But I think now, I think this is Barry Odom's best team since he's been the head coach of Missouri. I can't really explain what happened in Wyoming. It was sort of unconscionable to lose to the Cowboys. People say, well, it must have been the altitude. And I said, no, I don't think it was the altitude at all. I think it was the attitude of the players. I don't know if you guys have heard this story, but the plane was delayed coming out of Columbia 5 hours because a broken windshield wiper on the charter. And then the Saturday morning, the power went out in the team hotel when they're trying to prepare for breakfast and meetings and all that. So it was like a perfect storm of things that Murphy's Law was ever present in Laramie that day. And, you know, I thought the players just were listless at times and just didn't show up. They came back very strong against West Virginia. It was just a different team.
Now, nobody wants to try to explain away a loss right after it happens and say, look, they could utilize this and this could be a good thing. But now that we've seen them bounce back the way they did against West Virginia, and if they go on a nice win streak here, can we say that maybe if Barry Odom uses that the right way, it shows them if you don't have the right attitude, if you don't take every opponent serious, that's what could happen. And they learn that lesson early on, and maybe they're a better team for it. Nobody wants to hear that right after the loss, but they rattle off 5 or 6 wins in a row. Maybe that can be true.
I agree, and especially when you're playing a team that you should beat, and you allow a team, you started off very well. Go up 14-0, offense is playing well, defense looked really good, and then they went to sleep. But there is something about momentum that can just not be explained. And if you allow a team to get back in a contest, because those guys, they strap it on the same way as you do. If you allow them to believe that they can win a football game, and you don't match their energy and attitude, you will get beat, and that's what happened today. And I think, as you know, a lot of people say that West Virginia was not a very good team. I kind of disagree with that. I mean, they had their struggles. They're playing for a new coach, and you know, a lot of adjustments when you've got a lot of things new. But they seem to have found their stride at least last week when they, you know, put up a bunch of points against NC State. And it will be interesting to see how they do against Kansas on Saturday.
So the older I get, the more fascinated I am with how people respond to adversity, because I just feel like that's what life is all about. You know, you catch a bad break, something doesn't go your way. Okay, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? We just talked to Carter Stanley about that when KU lost to Coastal Carolina, and they came back and they beat Boston College. Barry Odom's shown a couple of times already in his short tenure at Missouri that he is able to get his team to respond to adversity, like what we're talking about with this Wyoming game. What have you seen from him? What have you seen? How has he been able to establish that culture where he doesn't allow that loss to spiral into something worse, but the team actually responds to it and gets better?
I think he has used very well a lot of those past experiences. You know, the year that they went 1-5 in the first part of the season and reeled off 6 straight games.
Yeah.
You know, he has used those experiences, and a lot of the same players are still on that team that are now seniors and fifth-year guys. So they have kind of been through that battle and understood what it felt like to be knocked down and trampled on. You know, when you're probably as low as you can get, and people don't believe in the coach, they don't believe in the players, you feel like the players quit on them. But to be a part of something, you know, where they, you know, they've looked at that adversity and have battled back and made that season relevant again. And they've been able to do that. They've had success in the month of November. So I think his thing was, look, let's not wait until November to start playing good football. You know, we're a much better team. We've got the talent to match up with anyone. If this team, this group of players, can eliminate the things that beat themselves, they can match up with virtually anyone. And that's pretty much been the hallmark for this team. You know, mistakes that they have, you know, they're, you know, turning football over.
Yeah.
Turnovers are always the equalizer. And Barry always says, you know, we have a very slim margin of error when we turn the football over. We've got to overcome that. And we've got to start turning, you know, we got to create turnovers on defense. And you saw last week against SEMO, I don't care who you're playing, they did what they were supposed to do. And then some against the Red Hawks. And I think that's what Barry has been teaching. Start fast, don't let off the gas pedal, and play hard from start to finish.
Big game for Mizzou at home this Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. Mizzou hosts South Carolina in the SEC Conference opener. Man, how we could talk to you for probably the entire 4 hours of this show, and so hopefully this won't be the last time you join us. Thank you so much for coming out here, and I know that everyone that comes out to the Tiger Club of Kansas City today for the luncheon at the Westport Flea Market will be highly entertained and enjoy your talk and answering questions. Great group of people down there. So, Howard, thank you so much for making some time for us today.
Thank you. Anytime. Just give us a call.
And at that background check I ordered on him, just we can, you know, later on we can, no
first,
need to.
First, not, one's, first one's free.
That's exactly what I wanted. And then he's next. That's Howard Richards back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.